Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Happy New Year 2025, day one of a new year. We hope it's great for you. It's a new chapter in your life, so make it a good one. It's all up to you, really. I mean, attitude is, I'm a big believer, if you have the right attitude, you can just about do anything, but you have to believe it, live it, and results can happen. Simple as that. But more than anything, as I said at the beginning of the show, I wish all of you out there on the radio hotline or wherever you're calling or listening to this, I wish you all the best health that you can have, because if you're healthy, then you certainly have the riches that you need. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370. Talking about the Bengals and the Steelers. Coming up on Saturday, the Steelers need to get this right, and if they do somehow win a game and do it impressively, I think it can help them moving into the next week. Most likely it's going to be Houston. But, you know, I asked this yesterday, Austin, about a lot of people who wonder about the opponents who you'd rather play, and it's surprisingly still a lot of people said bring on Baltimore. They'd rather see Baltimore. I do not think that's the best road for them at all. Baltimore's are playing at a level where I can look at them and say they could win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's that good right now. I think their defense has gotten far better. Mike Tomlin said that he saw a difference when they brought in Dean Pease, a 75-year-old who was a consultant, and they brought him in even more so this year because they have a young defensive coordinator, and it's made a big difference so far in how they've done things. So I think Baltimore, given the fact that I think Jackson – has been through this before, and now maybe this is the time he goes longer. Maybe not. He has to prove it first. But the running back with Derrick Henry is just – we saw in the last game. He ran it right down the Steelers' throats, and I think that is a more of a problem. I know the rivalry. I know the history. I would prefer Houston based on what I've seen from them lately.
I want nothing to do with Baltimore after what I saw them do to Houston. I mean, if I have the opportunity on the Steelers to play that Houston team who Baltimore absolutely embarrassed, like you think people think that the Steeler game was bad? The Houston Texans were run off their own field. They had 2 points on a safety. Their offense couldn't move the ball with the hotshot offensive coordinator that I like that they have. But, I mean, Bobby Slowick and that offense, they've struggled over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I understand you want to play Baltimore, you want to beat Baltimore. They've had a lot of recent success against them. But, I mean, the matchup, I don't care about the path, Bob. I mean, that's the thing. Like, people who are knocking Penn State so much for having a favorable path, and yes, like, there's no denying, they've had a more favorable path than the number one seed Oregon, who has to play Ohio State this week. Like, there's no doubt about that. But wouldn't you rather have the easiest path to be able to get to a championship? Like, I don't care who they play and who they have to beat to get there. But if I think there's a better chance to win and the odds are more in my favor, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to say, yeah, bring on all the hardest teams that we can until we have to play them.
No, totally. And that's why I think this is a better matchup. They've been injured down there. Their offense is out of whack in Houston. Now, that's not to say that the Steelers will be favored, because I don't think they will be. I think on the road they're going to be slight underdogs. They've been underdogs a lot, and they are again this week. So, but that to me is – I mean, it starts here. They got to win this game. If they do it and do it well – carries over into that game, and then you never know. You go on a roll, you're going to have to do that, but winning on the road is going to be part of it. Now, I realize the history of the Ravens, but, man, you got to look at what you're looking at, and it's not the same team right now. Derrick Henry has given them a different kind of look, and I just would not want to see that early on in this playoff tournament. 412-928-9370. Let's go back to the phone lines. Mikey in Natrona Heights joins us right now. Hello, Mikey.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Happy New Year.
You too.
Hey, did you happen to catch Pat Bostic's interview with Neil Shipley?
I did not hear it. I knew he had him on. No, I did not hear it, though.
Yeah, what a very grounded kid he is. I can see him doing extremely well on the tour.
No question. I know his mom a little bit. I don't know Neil all that well other than a couple of cursory meetings, but I know that, just the way he handles himself, that he should be.
Right.
I mean, but it's a tough tour, man. It can eat you up if you don't bring your – and no, he got off a good start last year at the end of the year. He made some money.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I caddied Oakmont. I've been here 25 years, and I got to meet him this past summer. Didn't get to caddy for him, but, man, he's just such a good kid, you know?
Yeah, he is. So you're a caddy there. Do you get a chance of getting one of the bags on the U.S. Open by any chance? I don't know if that still remains the same.
I'll be in Myrtle Beach.
Okay, you're going to get away from it all.
there's usually about five jobs, and they're just people qualify. I mean, like I always said, the way they televise golf today, best place to be is on your couch.
There's no question, because you can't keep up with what's going on out there. If you're going to be at one hole, you don't see what's happening in and around that one hole.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But did you get to play last year, Bob, down there?
Yes. Yes.
What did you think of the changes?
I thought they were great, and I thought I really liked the what they did on number 15, Mikey. And I know we may be talking to people who've never had the opportunity, and I wish every golfer would at one point. They expanded that green a little bit, made it a false side, and they could put a pin right behind the trap there. I think that is a very difficult pin position.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed the most. Is just these pros are going to be seeing pins that were never put there, you know. I don't know. Like, I think I talked to you last year, maybe down there. You know, you were down there. If we get no rain, I don't know how anybody could be under par there.
Yeah, I think if it's dry and fast, it's going to be very difficult. And I know even if it isn't, it'd still be difficult, but the scores will look differently because they're that good that they could find ways to get two pins and they don't have to worry about hard, fast conditions. So.
Right, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. But, so, like I said, I hope everything works out for Neil Shipley. Like you said, Paul, it's so brutal. It's so tough to make it on the tour, you know, how good these guys are. It's just incredible, you know. And I know I saw that when they had the amateur there, because they did I didn't caddy amateur, but I walked around with their caddy just kind of, you know, explaining things to them. And, just watching these young kids hit the ball, man, it's
insane. Totally insane. Mikey, thanks. I know you do a good job out there, and I appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, I mean, the young kids, how they hit the ball. First of all, they have no spines. They're in good shape. You know.
No spines.
No spines. They're like fish. They just turn. They could do things with their body that it's unbelievable. The flexibility factor. I remember back in the day, you know, for me, when I was starting, there was no special training regimens you had to go through. You just went out and you played golf. You stretched a little, did three deep knee bends, went to the first tee and hit the ball. Now you've got people who watch what you eat. You have people who are designed to help you when it comes to stretching. You have people who designed to help you with hypnotic, strength training in your mind, that sort of thing. It's a crazy sport, and you have to be that good these days because these guys are shooting crazy scores on really difficult golf courses. And it will be interesting to see what people think about what Oakmont's score will be. I remember back in 1994, so we did a lot of specials out there on KDK TV, and it was an Ernie Els. He won it on a second hole of a playoff, I believe. Colin Montgomery was in that playoff. It was the hottest week that you can imagine. Every day was hot, 90 plus degrees, and to the point where it was 97 on one of the days. It grinds you down in those heated conditions. To walk and play a difficult, you know, mind-stretching kind of game that you have to play out there at Oakmont Country Club. So conditions will determine what it is.
That's how I've really wondered over the last couple of years, too. Like, how is Tiger still doing it? You know, with all the back problems that he's had and walking.
He's not now. He hasn't.
Rarely, yeah.
He very seldom plays, and if he does, it's only in that PNC father-son, father-daughter championship, and he's done pretty well with that, but he can't play competitively. And it's and for him, he's done it to himself. And these are all self-inflicted things that have happened to him, and it's a shame. But that's, you know, that's where he is. He's designing golf courses now. If you're into that, and if you get into golf, Austin, we'll talk about golf course designs and how it's very different, all these courses. You could travel all over. That's why it's great. I think Starkey's going to do that. I think he's going to travel the world, play golf, write a book, and live happily ever after. Do you?
Do you think he's going to turn into Ron? He's gonna. Do you think Ron is going to write a book?
I would not be surprised if Ron has written one already and just fine-tuning it. I do. I mean, he's always kept copious notes about everything.
It's obviously a different playbook, but that would be Joe's riding off into the sunset, wherever it might be. He would just play golf every other day, enjoy the day as much as possible.
By playing golf, you get Kyle from Grandview, who opens up his heart to us and says, come on out and eat at the Yasti Steakhouse. So I'm going to find out about Kyle. And by the way, Kyle, if you're still listening, I went through Instagram. I have no idea how to find notifications on certain things. So
text us, yeah, Kyle, on the text line.
Text us, yeah, and then we'll get your number and we'll go from there. All right, enough of that. 412-928-9370. Talking about the Steelers in this game, if you had to make a list of your top five concerns with this team now.
Oh, boy.
Because I think there are a lot of concerns. Number one on my list, believe it or not, will be defensive improvement.
I agree with that.
You can't allow what they've allowed. As I said, if you look at the last three games, the offense has not been good. I mean, that's clear. That has to improve, too, with averaging 13 points per game. You can't do that. All double-digit losses. But they've given up so many critical third-down plays, big chunks of yards on longer drives. Again, the one that comes to mind to me is after Russell Wilson fumbled in Baltimore, they could have shut it down, bailed him out, and got a three and out. Instead, they go 96 yards, touchdown, boom, it's a 14-point swing. Your defense has got to pick up offense when the offense isn't as good as the defense, supposedly, right? To me, that's number one.
No doubt. And the fact that they've had these communication lapses is something that I've touched on already that just absolutely blows my mind at this point that they are in the season. And it comes down to the secondary and communication with the linebackers, too. Like Patrick Queen over the last couple of weeks has been, you know, fine, but not the difference maker that they're paying him to be. And Minka, I wonder what his role is right now. You know, because until Deshaun Elliott got hurt, Minka was playing strictly 20 yards off the ball as that free safety spot and not playing close to the line. With Elliott hurt, and even when Elliott came back last week, there was a lot of Minka playing around the box, around the line of scrimmage, right in that 5 to 10 yard fringe range. So I think they've moved him around to try to maybe take away from some of the lapses in other areas. How much does that potentially hurt them?
Well, if you're paying a guy $21 million on a cap hit, you expect him to make plays.
No doubt.
Now, I also understand the need to secure a part of the field that limits what maybe opposition can do, but you could find other people to do it far less than the $21 million cap hit that he commands. So I want to see him. I think he has unique talents. I think there's got to be a way to get him more involved in this in a more up-tempo blitzing kind of scheme. It's all well and good to sit back and allow quarterbacks to try to figure out your zone or whatever you're doing back there, but the elite quarterbacks will do that. They will figure it out, and they will know where to go with the ball if you don't put pressure on them. Again, we saw last night in the Penn State game, Boise State came after them. They realized that their defensive backfield was not going to be good enough to cover people all day long, so they decided to just risk it, go after him almost, I don't know how many percentage of their plays were blitz plays defensively, but they were going after Drew Aller, and they got to him a few times. They made things happen as a result. They forced a fumble the one time. So I think if you're a team like the Steelers, the best thing you can do is put more pressure on quarterbacks, force them to make plays that they're not accustomed to making. If you let guys like Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, any of the good ones, Josh Allen, sit there and decide what you're going to do. It goes back to that game in Dallas or here against Dallas. You know, it was the last play of the game. First of all, if a Landon Roberts hit results in a fumble recovery and the game ends, that's this play we'll be talking about forever. It didn't. They got the ball. So fourth down, Dak Prescott's in shotgun. Instead of going really after him, they decided to kind of flood the end zone. I know it's a shorter, you know, amount of real estate to cover. But when you give good quarterbacks time to assess, to go through progressions, and to make quick throws on the money, more times than not, the good ones are going to make that throw.
No, he had all day. He had all day to throw. And Yeah, somebody eventually is going to break open unless you bring an extra rusher. I mean, not saying to play cover zero, but bring somebody off the edge.
Mix it up. Yeah, yeah. You got to do that. That's the only way you can be successful. In the days of Dick LeBeau, when he was doing it at a high level, I mean, you didn't know where blitzes were coming from. And I think as a quarterback, even the good ones, if you confuse them just a bit so they throw off the timing of a pattern, it could lead to a big play. 412-928-9370. Steve is in the car, and he joins us right now on The Fan. Hello, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Bob.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I was just calling about, you know, great stuff on the Steelers, but I'll be honest. I just don't have good feelings for them the rest of the way. Sure, we played three of the toughest teams the last 3 weeks, but our defense, along with our offensive line, and I don't think Najee should be starting at running back. I would rather see Warren get the call, but I think it's like, you know, Najee was our first-round pick. Warren went undrafted. But our defense, when we need the big stop, the big play to stop the drive or stop the third down, we're not doing it. We're not executing. We're not giving Russell enough time. I think we're one and done in the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, you may be right. Thanks, Steve, for the call. I mean, the way they're playing right now, it's the wrong way to go into a postseason. But they do have a chance to reverse that this week and get something going on both sides of the ball against a team that's won four in a row. And you can say what you want about Cincinnati. They had some losses early in the season that could have very easily been wins, and they wouldn't even be in this situation. They need some help on Sunday. They got to win and hope two other teams lose, and one of them is Denver at home to Kansas City. I wonder how Kansas City approaches that game, Austin. They have nothing really to play for. They've already secured home field. They will rest certain guys, but they're obligated to play somebody, you know, so Denver has to win that game in order to get in.
You know what's crazy about it is because of when the game was against the Steelers on a Wednesday, they're going to have 25 days off until they play in the divisional round. 25 days. Like, is that too much time to have off? I think that if I was Kansas City, I would rather rest Mahomes, rest Kelsey, rest Chris Jones, get Pacheco healthy and get him rolling again. And I would not worry about rust. I would rather have rest over rust because you've played so much football over the last couple of years, too, and I think that factors into it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, these guys have played together for how many years? I know some of the wide receivers are different, but it seems like the chemistry with DeAndre Hopkins is fine and Hollywood Brown is fine. I wouldn't worry about that.
No, I wouldn't. I think Juju Smith-Schuster actually factors into this a little bit, too. And Hollywood Brown gives them a nice little piece there that they can bring into it, along with Xavier Worthy. And, of course, Kelsey. And, yes, for them, 3 years of trying to win this stuff back to back to back, the rest would only help them. Playing at Arrowhead will help them. And Patrick Mahomes being rested, he had that ankle that he played through the injury. I don't know how bad or good it was, but he played through it. Mike is in the car right now at 412-928-9370. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a sad day. Yeah, welcome the new year in with God's grace. But I'm a little bit sad. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. My hero died at this day. I was 12 years old when that happened. It was Clemente.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly it was probably about the first time that I actually cried for another human being. And I'll tell you why. Like I said, he was my hero. He got me involved in baseball. I enjoyed going to the stadium to watch him. And I remember my aunt calling me that he died. Of course. And my dad worked at the old Iron City Brewery. And he came home from lunch a couple hours, and I guess my mom sent him upstairs, and I heard him coming up the steps. And he come in, he said, "What's the problem, boy?" And I says, "Daddy, Clemente died." And he says, "Yeah, I heard. Fill me in a little bit more." I was at work, and I told him. And I was crying, and in them days, you never cried in front of your dad. And my dad said, "Mike, take care." He said, "It's okay, Mike. Keep crying." He said, "That man's worth every tear."
Yeah,
the way he died, and I told my dad he died for. I didn't know nothing about Managua, Nicaragua. I didn't know nothing about it. I know it was another country, but I was old enough to know that he died for helping other people. I always try to set a standard for myself and my family as well. But that was the day where I realized that death was a real thing, and tomorrow isn't promised to nobody.
Man, that's right, Mike, and you're right. I'm glad that you utilize that as a reason to help other people, too. I think that goes a long way, you know. I hate to sound prophetic here and sound like someone who's been around too long, but you get older and you realize the things that are more important than anything else. And we spend our whole lives trying to acquire things, you know, big things, whatever they may be. You work to acquire a career. You try to make money. You try to make it easier on your family, whatever the case you're doing. You get awards. You do this. You do that. But at the end of the day, what matters is, number one, just the moment you have with your family. Spend as much as you can with them because you never know what comes after this. And the other thing is help others who may need help. It's a simple formula that can make you happy, and if it brings a smile to the face of someone else and you're responsible for that smile, I think that's a huge gift you can get to yourself. Now, I'm done being philosophical with you, but thanks for the reminder that this was that day of that anniversary, and man, it was tough to see. That guy just got his 3,000th hit against John Matlack. I remember that being over there, actually, watching that, and there was not that many people there that day at Three River Stadium. I think about 13,000 to watch it, so... But that was it. End of his career, end of his life. So thanks for the reminder, and we certainly think about Roberto Clemente a lot on this day. Thanks, Mike.
Happy New Year, Bob.
You too. Thanks.